This passage is a beautiful passage about a man named Barnabas. We don't hear a lot about Barnabas, but the things that God has to say about him are amazing. So notice verse 19 of Acts 11. It says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none, but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." Our title, verse 24, "He was a good man." Let's pray. Lord, we love you, and we thank you so much for this opportunity to assemble in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, around the precious Word of God. Open it to our hearts now. Lord, speak to each of us individually in a personal way and work miracles. And Lord, I pray that you would guide us in your truth and that you would be glorified. We love you so much and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you can see, even by Acts 11, this is before Paul has become the prominent missionary, we still have many of the people preaching, only preaching to Jews. Did you see that in verse 11? None but unto the Jews only. They still had this attitude, many of the disciples who the church started in Jerusalem, many of the disciples still had this attitude that the gospel was only for Israel, only for the Jews. And even though this is after what happened with Peter and Cornelius, Cornelius being the first Gentile convert, still we have these disciples only preaching to the Jews. But thankfully, verse 20, some of these started preaching to the Grecians. Some of them decided, no, the gospel is for the whole world. The gospel is for everyone, including the Gentiles. And Gentiles started getting saved. What an exciting thing. Notice verse 21. "The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord." Hallelujah. And this is what it takes to get to heaven. Amen. It's to believe on Jesus Christ. He says, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." John 6:47. And many people, these Grecians, believed the gospel that they heard from these other disciples, and they got saved. They trusted Jesus, and they turned to the Lord. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Amen? People were getting saved. And so, tidings of this, verse 22, came to Jerusalem. Jerusalem's still kind of the headquarters, if you will, of Christianity. Christianity's still very young. Jerusalem's where it all began, where Pentecost happened, and the first Christians. And so the church at Jerusalem heard, wow, all these Grecians are getting saved. Gentiles are trusting Jesus. Churches are getting established. And so what did they decide to do? Verse 22, they chose Barnabas. And they said, "Barnabas, we want you to go and start encouraging these churches, helping them understand what Christian faith is all about. But it's you that we're choosing." Why would they choose Barnabas? Well, as we see, he was a good man. Notice Acts chapter 4, verse 36. I want to show you a couple things about Barnabas before we dive into the rest of the passage. Barnabas was special. Barnabas had a deep love for the Lord that came out in the way he treated people. Notice Acts chapter 4, verse 36. "Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is by interpretation the son of consolation." So Barnabas wasn't his original name. The disciples actually chose to rename him. His name was Joseph. But they said, no, this guy is special. Let's call him Barnabas, which means the son of consolation. because he is so good at being a blessing to others, at comforting them, at consoling them, we're going to rename him. And that's exactly what they did. They renamed him the Son of Consolation. Then look at Acts chapter 9, verse 27. This is a piece of the story in Paul's life that many people don't catch or think about. But remember, when the Apostle Paul first got saved, most Christians were very afraid of him. Why? Well, because he had been persecuting Christians. He had been killing Christians, committing them to prison. He thought he was being a faithful Jew in attacking Christianity. And when he first got saved, many Christians were extremely skeptical of Paul. They thought, you know, we don't want to have anything to do with this guy. He's just a spy. He's trying to rope us in. We're going to end up in prison because of Paul. Who was it but Barnabas? Notice Acts chapter 9, down to 26. When Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. All of them. Every single disciple was afraid of Paul. Well, he's not Paul yet, he's Saul. And they believed not that he was a disciple. They thought he was faking it. They thought he was a spy for the Jews. And they didn't want to have anything to do with him. Verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Little piece of Paul's story there. He just got saved in the same chapter, Acts chapter 9. He immediately started preaching. But none of the disciples would have anything to do with him. But it was Barnabas who said, come on, Paul. And brought him to the disciples and said, you need to believe his testimony. It's real. He is genuinely saved. He is genuinely preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. And through the influence of Barnabas, they accepted Paul. Isn't that beautiful? So we're getting a glimpse of why, of all the people the church of Jerusalem could have chosen, why would they choose Barnabas to send to Antioch to encourage these new Gentile believers? And by the way, if you study it through in Acts, eventually the greatest church of the time was no longer Jerusalem, but became the church at Antioch. So he went to Antioch. And what happened? Let's look at four things we see in this scripture as why Barnabas was a good man. You know, the world says, oh, he's a good man. He's got nice clothing. He wears really good-smelling cologne. He's got money. He's really successful at his job. The world defines a good man a lot differently than God. So let's see how God defines a good man in this passage. Number one, verse 23, he exhorted them all. First thing he does when he shows up is start exhorting them, which means to encourage them with the word of God. Barnabas, wherever he went, he positively affected other Christians. That's one of the reasons he was a good man. And you know, this God wants this from all of us. When we interact with other Christians, he wants that to be a uplifting thing for the other Christians. That's what exhorting means. Edification, same thing. And there's a verse in Proverbs that says, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. In other words, a good friend lifts you up, not pushes you down. And that was Barnabas. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:11. I want to show you this is God's will for every Christian believer, is that we, like Barnabas, when we interact with other Christians, that interaction should build them up. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. We come to church primarily for the Word of God. Amen? We all agree with that. That's why we're called Bible Baptist Church, because we're all about the Bible. But that's not the only reason we come to church, is it? We come to corporately worship the Lord. We also come for edification from our brothers and sisters in Christ. We come to be built up by interacting with our brothers and sisters. That was Barnabas. He exhorted people. He lifted them up. He was the son of consolation. He was the one that said, you guys need to accept Paul. That's the kind of person he was. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Most of us know verse 25. It's the command to be faithful to church. But there's a phrase in this verse that's very important. It says, not forsaking, Hebrews 10:25, the assembling of ourselves together. So there's the command. We're not to forsake whenever our church assembles, we're to be there. That's pretty clear, isn't it? We're not to forsake it. We're to participate. And then what does it say? As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. There it is. Exhorting. Same thing Barnabas did. When we assemble, God says, we're to be exhorting one another. And then look what he says. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. My friend, is the day approaching? Quickly. We look at the wickedness. We look at the devil on the rampage. It's close. Amen? And as we see that day approaching when the trumpet blows and we're going to be with Jesus, what are we supposed to do? Exhort one another so much the more. And so the first reason that we see that Barnabas was a good man, because he was a man that positively affected other Christians. He was all about exhortation, consolation. That was Barnabas. Reason number two, verse 24 of Acts chapter 11. It says, he was a good man, number two, full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. It's a lot different than the world's definition of a good man, isn't it? God says a good man edifies other Christians, and a good man is full of the Holy Ghost. Being full of the Holy Ghost, by the way, is a choice. It's not an automatic. Now, he's in us. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 31. He lives in us. We are now the temple of God. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost. But that doesn't mean we're full of him. You can't be full of the Holy Ghost unless you're emptied of self and other things. And being full of the Holy Ghost is a choice. Look at Acts 4:31. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what did they do? Did they speak in tongues? No. They spake the word of God with boldness. Amen? Look at Ephesians 5:18. If you're a born-again Christian, this is a command from our Lord to each of us. What does it say? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. If you're filled with the Spirit, then that means He's in control and not you. Amen? Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So how do we know if we're filled with the Spirit? How do we know if we're full of the Holy Ghost? Very easy. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. If you are displaying those nine traits in your life, it's because the Holy Ghost is doing it through you. Because we don't have the capacity to do all those things in our own strength. We're just wicked sinners saved by grace. But the Holy Ghost is the one that bears that fruit. But He doesn't force it on us. We have to yield to Him. We have to surrender to Him. We have to be filled with Him. Let Him be in control. So, if that is a description of our lives, that we're loving, we're full of the joy of the Lord, that we're seeking peace with our brothers and sisters, that we are patient and long-suffering with them, that we're gentle, that we're good to others, and we're kind, and that we're meek, and that we're in control of our flesh, then, yeah, we're full of the Holy Ghost. And that was Barnabas. He not only was a man of exhortation, but he was a man full of the Holy Ghost. Doesn't stop there, though, does it? Verse 24, Acts chapter 11, look there. He wasn't only full of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says he was full of faith. Amen? He was a man of faith, a man who believed that God can do anything. With man, things are possible. With God, Luke 18, 27, all things are possible. Amen? He believed that. He believed, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. He was a man of faith. He believed Matthew 6, 6, which says, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. He was a man of faith. Because the Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please him. Hebrews 11, 6. So, Barnabas was a man that believed that God could do anything. He's a lot like Caleb and Joshua as we're studying in the Old Testament. If this is God's will, then he's going to make it happen. Because God can do anything. That's faith. Faith is believing things that can happen that you can't see, right? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible says we're to walk by faith, not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5, 7. And that was Barnabas. He was not only a man who exhorted others when he interacted with Christians, not only a man who was literally full of the Holy Ghost, which means he displayed the fruit of the Holy Ghost, but he was a man that was full of faith. He trusted and believed that our God, the God of the Bible, can do anything. Amen? And then lastly, verse 24 of Acts 11, much people was added unto the Lord. Why? Because of Barnabas. He didn't just show up to encourage Christians. He showed up and started witnessing. That's who he was. Because when you're full of the Holy Ghost, I didn't mention this earlier, you're not only going to bear the fruit of the Spirit, but you will be a witness. How do I know this? Because God told us so. Amen? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Let's look at it. If you had to pick one purpose for God empowering us by the Holy Ghost, that purpose would be to witness. Acts 1:8, ye shall receive what? Power. So God says, I'm going to give you power. This is amazing power. I'm going to give it to you. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So the power is going to come from the Holy Ghost. Amen? And what's supposed to happen after God gives us this power? And what? Ye shall be witnesses. Well, that's pretty clear, isn't it? I'm going to give you power from heaven. God himself is going to move in and empower us so that we can be witnesses. So now, it's easy to tell if we're full of the Holy Ghost, isn't it? Not only are we bearing the fruit of the Spirit, but we're sharing the gospel with lost people. That's pretty basic. And this is Barnabas, a man that when he heard the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he said, okay, Lord, that's what I'll do. I'm going to yield to the Holy Ghost and be full of him. When I meet with other Christians, I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to believe that you're a God that can do anything. And I am going to tell as many as I can about Jesus so they can be saved. And it says, much people was added unto the Lord. Why? Because of Barnabas. Now later on, if you go to Acts 15 and verse 26, later on Barnabas was given another task. And that was, he and Paul were to go back and report. And I want you to see how the apostles described Barnabas and Paul, which this is a letter that they had to write at the first Bible conference about Judaizers teaching you had to get circumcised to go to heaven and so forth. When they were all finished, they wrote a letter and they said, now this letter needs to go to the churches. You know, they didn't have a postal service. They didn't have email. A physical person had to carry the letter to the church. And who did they send? But, verse 25, it seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Verse 26, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is how the church at Jerusalem chose to describe Barnabas and Paul. It's amazing, isn't it? We're only a few chapters from when they didn't want anything to do with Paul. Now, it's Paul and Barnabas they want to send to the churches with these letters, helping them with the false doctrine. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus. We're all to emulate Jesus. Amen? He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked, 1 John 2:6. But if you had to pick a man in the book of Acts, there's not one negative thing said about Barnabas. It's fascinating. If you had to pick a man to learn some good character traits, Barnabas would be a good choice, wouldn't it? Because I didn't say he was a good man. God said he was a good man. Amen? What made him a good man? He was a man that exhorted people, edified, lifted them up. He was a man that was full of the Holy Ghost. He was a man that was full of faith. And he was a man that wherever he went, much people was added to the Lord. So now we know God's definition of a good man. Much different than the world's. But it's certainly something we can strive for, amen? It's to be like Barnabas. A man of faith. A man that witnesses. A man that is full of the Holy Spirit. And a man that whenever he interacts with other Christians, he's making them better Christians. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for Barnabas' example. And Lord, may we have the desire to be described by you as a good man. May we strive for that day when you allow us into heaven because of Jesus and what he did, and you say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." May that be our goal, to finish our course with joy. Lord, to, like Barnabas, try to lift up others and encourage them. Lord, to be full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith and to be constantly sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with the lost. I thank you for speaking to us through his example, through your precious word. If there's someone in our service not sure they're born again, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.